Is the gospel just for those people that are all messed up? You know, the dirty people, the people that are on drugs, the people whose lives are wrecked and ruined. They're just all kind of basked and bathed in wickedness and sin. Well, listener, it is for those people. The gospel is for the sinner. Good morning and welcome to God's Resistance, where we resist sin, self, the devil, and the world. Glad that you've tuned in. We are continuing our series on the book of Romans. We had done last episode, Romans 1 through 17. We are going to be picking it up here in Romans 1, 18, and hopefully through to the end. And I had said in the beginning, is the gospel just for those wicked people, for those sinners, for, you know, the people that are kind of basked in wickedness? Well, the answer is yes. The Jews had looked at the Gentiles as being that type of people, so depraved, so messed up. Well, yeah, God needs to deal with them. They're wicked sinners, most certainly. And we will find out that Paul levels the playing field so that it's not just the dirty Gentiles, but it's everybody that needs the gospel. But he does focus in on the Gentiles and the things that were going on in their lives. And he says, the wrath in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That's not really a comfortable subject that people like to talk about or hear in our day. The wrath of God. Oh, the wrath of God. I thought God was love. Well, he is love. And because he is love, there is also wrath against sin and wickedness. It's just like us as parents when our kids are going off in a certain direction that we don't like. You know, there's a bit of just anger toward it. And this is not what I bred you to be. This is not who I've tried to show you the way to go, and you've just turned and done your own thing. This is not what I wanted for you. You've just kind of turned on everything, you know, and there's that kind of indignation towards seeing a child of yours ruined. When the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Notice it says all. Doesn't matter what class you are, doesn't matter what ethnicity, doesn't matter what religion you are. His wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And especially in this case, he says, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, meaning that you know better and you do it anyways. The wrath of God is revealed to us in that condition. Why? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath shewed it unto them. In other words, he's trying to bring the case that conscience is a huge thing. It says in the Gospel of John that Jesus lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And that's talking about Jesus has given the light of truth and conscience in every single person. Nobody is outside of that experience and knowledge. Everyone has a conscience. And he says, the reason God's wrath is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness is because we're holding the truth in unrighteousness. We know the highest sense of oughtness. We know what's right, and yet we're not doing it. We're living well below our knowledge. And he says, because God has revealed it to us, and we're still walking away. And you might be saying to yourself, what are you talking about? Like, okay, I understand conscience maybe in some respect, and I'm living according to my conscience. I'm living according to what I feel is right or what I feel is wrong. I try to stay away from or whatever. What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about that there is a natural revelation of things that should make us seek after God. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So here it's talking about Psalm 19 says something to this effect where the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. And it's talking about the sun is like a preacher that's running through the sky, preaching the existence of God, the message of God, that there is a God and that we should seek after him and that we're going to stand before him one day in judgment. He says that that all creation points to this truth, to this revelation. And the invisible things of God are known when we look at the creation around us. We look around and say, somebody had to do this. Who put this here? And evolution takes a whole lot more faith than an intelligent being who's put everything here. We never think to ourselves that if we just throw a bomb inside of a garage, that all the shrapnel is suddenly going to come together and make us a Mercedes. Nobody thinks like that. If a Mercedes happened inside of a garage, you would think somebody put it there. Some intelligent person put it there. Random explosive action did not construct this Mercedes. And so he's making this argument saying creation around speaks to us of a God in heaven who is almighty, who is powerful. And he's saying his eternal power and Godhead is known to everyone without excuse solely because of the testimony of creation. Many people would say, oh, I see creation and I don't believe in a God at all. You know, I believe in this whole evolutionary theory and all this other kind of stuff that's been pumped out in our schools and all that kind of thing. You know, the more we learn, it seems the less intelligent we become. And so we have to realize that God doesn't really care about what we've learned in the universities and other things like that, because he says that there is a universal revelation of a majestic, powerful being that has spoken all of what we see into existence, even our very lives. And he says, why is this that God's wrath is revealed like this? Because that when they knew God, that is people, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain or empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So they have a knowledge that somebody had to do all this. There is a God that is, you know, in the heavens, you know, because I realize innately that there must be a God in the heavens that doesn't live necessarily here like human beings do, but he's got some kind of seat of authority, and we think of that as heaven. And he says, when these people knew God, because our conscience knows that, you don't have to describe to a child that there's some wonder with creation. There's somebody bigger than all of us. That almost in some respect has to be kind of educated out of a child, because a child has that natural wonder that's inside of their heart. But he said that when they knew that there was a God, even though they may not have known who this God was, they knew there was some sort of powerful being. They didn't glorify him as God, kind of turned their backs on him. They weren't thankful toward him whatsoever for life, for sustenance, for anything that's happened here on earth. They weren't thankful to him, but they came vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. So instead of taking things at face value and being like, there's got to be somebody who created this, they made up crazy stories and mythologies and certain other things that catered to their wicked desires rather than to submit to that simple testimony of creation around them in their conscience. And he says, professing themselves, and he's speaking mainly about the pagan Gentile world, probably mostly which would have been Greek and Roman influence in their mythologies and all the crazy belief systems that they had. And I mean, it goes farther back than that. You look in the land of Canaan and all the atrocious things that they had done, sacrificing children to a giant molten statue and thinking that somehow they're pleasing God because of it. He said, these professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And he's talking about idolatry. People think they're wiser than the simple revelation. So what do? They create characters and things in order to worship, and they create gods that are like themselves instead of them looking to a God that's not like them. I mean, God is like us in some sense, but he's not like us in the sense that we, you know, the wickedness that we gravitate towards. So you look at certain different gods and statues. They say, you make statues of men and worship them. We make statues of crazy beasts. You know, and I think of a lot of times Hindu religions have very grotesque looking statues, and that would be something they would bow down to and worship. And they had, you know, temple slavery where children had to go in there and serve this hideous, disgusting looking statue of a god. And he's saying, because people have rejected the truth and their vain imaginations, their foolish heart was darkened, and they were saying, we're wise, we know what's going on. Instead, they've become foolish, and they took an incorruptible God, and then they made something with their hands, and then they started calling that God. And he said, this is where the wrath of God is revealed. This is the trouble that we find ourselves in. And so professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, because of this, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So they made up a God in their image, you know, through idolatry and idolatrous means. And by the way, that still happens today. You don't think God is a God that's capable of wrath and judgment. You think that God is just love. So you ignore what God has revealed about himself inside the scripture, and you make up a God in your own image to suit your own sins and to suit your own wicked desires, instead of dealing with those in the sight of a God who will judge the world in righteousness. And so these people were doing that, and he said he gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. In other words, it's kind of like, well, if this is what you want, you can have it, because I'm not going to be going against your will. If you choose this way, this is your choice, so I'm just going to give you over to your choices. And so they gave themselves. We give ourselves to the lust of our own hearts, to dishonor our bodies between ourselves. If it feels good, do it, kind of a thing. And we start worshiping the creature more than the creator. You know, we're worshiping ourselves, we're worshiping one another more than we are giving our allegiance to a holy God. And he says, for this cause, because of people rejecting God in the light of conscience, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. So when people reject God, they degrade themselves worse and worse and worse and worse, according to the scripture. And here's one of the ways, he says in verse 26, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So that is lesbianism. So women were with women because they were burned in lust toward one another. Because they rejected God, this is what they did, is what it's telling us. And he said, it wasn't just the women, likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, homosexuality, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And in other words, they were saying a lot of diseases and things had passed between men because they were doing things that were against nature. And he said they even got a recompense of reward of their actions right here on earth because they were burned in their lust. They rejected God. Therefore, women started desiring women and men started desiring men. So this is where and why homosexuality has even come about. And it's not just our present day. This was something that's happened all the way back in the Roman Empire and even before. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And a reprobate mind is a mind that is just completely and utterly void of the truth and light of God, completely given over to a reprobate mind is somebody who's rejected God. He's just completely given them over to that because that's the way that they chose. And as a result of that, they're doing things which are, it says in the King James, not convenient. They're doing things that are not right. It's not according to the way that God has constructed us and made us. We were made in his image, and we're just sinning against the image of God in us. And he says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. So that's any sexual sins. That's homosexuality. That's adultery. That's sex before marriage. That is pedophilia. That is bestiality. It's a word that encompasses all of it. Wickedness, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, desiring the things that don't belong to me and willing to do whatever it takes to get it, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, people talking about each other behind their back, you know, and causing loads and loads of trouble. He said that they were given over to be backbiters because of the rejection of God, haters of God, despiteful. That means like an insulter, somebody who is just in hubris. Proud, you know, thinking more about themselves than they really need to, boasters, inventors of evil things. Because they rejected God, they thought up even newer ways to do evil. They were disobedient to their parents. And look at the day that we're in right now. The disobedience of children to their parents is gone exponentially more than it ever has. And it's because of a rejection of God. Who knowing the judgment of God, it says in verse 32, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And that's where we land in our culture today. It starts with the light of conscience. We reject the light of conscience. We reject God. We go after a God that we made up in our own image that will be okay with the way that we're living, our sins, our lusts, and all of that. And because we go after that kind of a God, then it says, we knew what the judgment of God was. We commit such things, and sin leads unto death. We're worthy of death. But we not only do those things, but now we've grown to the place where we love to do those wicked things. And that is why the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, because we hold the truth in unrighteousness. Dear listener, the message of the gospel is repent and believe. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. If you're local, I'd love to get a coffee with you. We are at the Abide Coffee Shop every Thursday night at 6:30. Right before that, We are on the public square at 5:30 for a street meeting and also Sunday at 4 p.m. for a street meeting. We want to see you at that Bible study at 6:30 on Thursday.